You would open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, if you're with us this morning and you don't have a copy of God's Word for any reason whatsoever, we encourage you to look underneath the seat that you're sitting in or underneath the seat in front of you. You'll see a blue Bible there. And I would encourage you to take that Bible, open up to page 1087. 1087, that's where we'll be this morning. Not only do we want to use that Bible this morning, we encourage you to take it home with you as a love gift from Charleston Baptist Church to you. No strings attached. We encourage you to look through God's Word throughout the week, and we pray that if God leads you to come back to Charleston Baptist Church to worship with us, you'll bring that Bible with you as we study God's Word together. We are specifically going to be in verses 28 and 29 this morning of Colossians chapter 1. Every new year brings about a desire for change, a desire for realignment, a desire for focus as we reflect on the year previous and the goals that were set out. And we're talking personal life and church life, all those different things. They're all kind of worked together. And based on what was set out in the past and looking forward into the future, oftentimes, we will establish New Year's resolutions or however you want to deem those. We find that oftentimes that we don't make it very far, right? We get, you know, maybe 30 days in and things start to adjust and change a little bit. Sometimes it's day one or week one. But as a church family, it is important for us to focus on some truths that are important for the life of the church. God's work in our life, and as God works in our life, our work for Him as we serve one another and our community. And so as I've really examined last year, as your pastor, there were certainly some challenges, and there were some great highs, but I have found myself going back to these two verses. As we look at the landscape of our country, as we look at the landscape of the American church, as we consider where Charleston Baptist Church has been, how it was established, where we are today, and where we are, Lord willing, going in the future, I think these verses will be very important for us, not only as a corporate body of believers, but in our personal lives, in our homes, in our marriages, as we parent, as we, if you're a child or a student, as you go to school, and all those different areas. These verses are so, so important. And so I'm going to read the verses, and then we are going to read them aloud after that, and those will be our memory verses for the month of January. So every week we're going to rehearse and recite these two particular verses. But let me read them first, and then we'll read them aloud together. Paul says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy, that He powerfully works within me." Those are some awesome verses. It's really the ministry of the church, and it's God's ministry to us. And so let's say these words aloud together, starting now. All right, here we go. You ready? Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy, that He powerfully works within me. Let us pray. Lord, we come to You this morning and we say yes. Whatever it is, whatever it needs to be changed, transformed, realigned, confessed, repented of, wherever we need to express faith and trust and obedience, whatever that next step is in our relationship with You, if it be the first step or leading towards the last steps, Lord, I pray that Your word would speak to us this morning. We ask that the Holy Spirit of God would reveal Your truths to us, and not just reveal, but Lord, give us the desire and the power to fulfill Your word in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is just big picture view. From this passage, we're going to see three focus points that Paul draws out that he's giving to the church there in Colossae. And I believe these are truths that should reign in our hearts today in 2020 as the people of God at Charleston Baptist Church. And so today is just big picture. The rest of the month of January, we'll come into some application points on how we can focus on these areas. And the first focus point that Paul is going to address for us is Christ above all. Christ above all. That's what he says in the first part of verse 28. He says, Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. The word proclaim here means to announce or to make known. And that proclaiming or that announcement can be in the context of a one-on-one conversation, or it can be in the context of speaking to 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. Christ above all. Now on the surface, this seems easy enough, right? Let's move on. We proclaim Jesus Christ above all, right? I mean, we walk into this room, we live lives with an idea that we are automatically living lives of Christ above all. I mean, we go to church, we're engaged in a student ministry, we're engaged in a kids ministry, we are committed to a life group, we're committed to serving Him in some capacity, we're committed to serving someone outside of the walls of 13 San Miguel, we do our Bible time, we do our prayer time, we give. Of course we proclaim Christ above all. But let's think about it for a moment. Is Christ really above all? Is He really your focus? Is He really what you're proclaiming and announcing? Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but all of life. It's as if the Apostle Paul is pulling each of us aside and saying, check with your wife to see if you've been living Christ above all. Check with your husband to see if you've been proclaiming Christ above all. If you're single, check with those who are single that you live life with. If you're truly proclaiming Christ above all, if you have children, are your children saying about you that yes, mom or dad or both are expressing Christ above all? What about your coworker? Is what they hear about you and know about you and see about you Christ above all? For students, when your teachers think about you, is it Christ above all? Where you eat and where you shop, those that you engage with, is it Christ above all? To whom your Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram posts go to? To the ones that see those words, is it Christ above all? What about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Right here in this room. Right here in the next service. The body of Christ at Charleston Baptist Church. Would they look at your life and my life and say, Christ above all? Now on the surface, this seems easy. But at the very moment we throw relationships into the mix, we got some problems, don't we? You see, on the surface, this is easy. But when we deal with relationships, as we engage in relationships within the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ, Christ above all is not so easy, is it? You see, that is not the reality for most of our lives. The reality for most of our lives is me. It's you. It's your preference and my preference, your conviction, my culture, my upbringing, your upbringing, my achievements, your agenda. That's what's above all. What we set out to do, what we desire somebody to be, it's not Christ above all. You know, the Apostle Paul understood this dynamic in life. He understood this struggle. He understood what it was like to move to a place in life where it truly was Christ above all. He says in Philippians 3, starting in verse 4, he says, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Christ above all. Here Paul talks about family heritage. He talks about his social status in the community. He talks about his biblical knowledge. He talks about his religious activity. He talks about his moral lifestyle. And guess what? All of those things in and of themselves aren't bad. In fact, they're what? They're good things. Those are things that we ascribe to and desire in our own lives. Who doesn't want more biblical knowledge? Who doesn't want somewhat of a reputation in society, a good one? Who doesn't want to come from a good family heritage? Who doesn't want to be active religiously? These aren't bad things. But guess what? They're not the greatest thing. You see, you can spend your entire life seeking, achieving, and living in the good things and miss out on the greatest thing. Christ above all. Consider what he's saying. Just let this marinate for a minute. We can love our families. We can love our spouses. We can love our friends. We can love his church. We can be active and moral and all of those different things. And yet, if we're not focused, we miss Jesus. Every one of those areas will miss Jesus. That's why Paul says in verse 8, listen to the focus. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of what? Of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I what? That I may gain Christ." Christ above all. You see, the ultimate treasure of this life, the life that truly counts, is Jesus Christ above all. Christ above all is the safeguard that protects us from promoting self. That's what protects us of promoting our agenda, our achievements, our background, our culture, our ideals, our wants and our desires. That's what protects us from promoting self. When people hear your story, what are they really hearing? What is the agenda of your life? By the words that you say, the actions that you do, and the actions that you do not do, what is truly above all? Paul says that we are to proclaim him by what? By warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. The word here, warning, means to understand potential dangers and to lovingly address those. That's important. And then he also talks about teaching, means to instruct or to guide. We are to warn, we are to teach as followers of Jesus Christ. How? He says, with all wisdom. This means that because Christ is above all, then Christ has something to say in all areas of life. Do you believe that? That in every single area of life, Christ has something to say about it. The Word of God addresses something in all areas of all parts of life. It may not be the exact black and white part that you're looking for, but the gospel addresses every aspect of your life and my life. So when it comes to race, when it comes to politics, when it comes to finances, relationships, addictions, illnesses, and everything else in between, here's what we find in Scripture. Christ is supreme. And because he is supreme, he is sufficient. Why? Because he is above all. This means that no matter what we go through, no matter who we come into contact with, our worldview, our lens, and how we perceive and handle situations, our thoughts and actions must be marinated in the fact that Christ is above all. And if that's not our focus, and when that is not our focus, guess what? We will live in the flesh just like that. We will not live in the new life that he has given to us.
When the Apostle Paul speaks about the importance of the gospel, he says this in Romans 1, verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The word ashamed is the idea of confidence. So Paul is saying, listen, in all things, what I deal with personally, what the people around me are dealing with, I am not ashamed. I am not losing confidence in the power of the gospel. Why? Because we know that it's the power of the gospel that not only brings someone into a right relationship with God, that's what we call justification, but it's the power of the same gospel that grows us in Christ. That is sanctification. And it's also the power of the same gospel that will one day complete us in Christ. That is glorification. Salvation is three distinct processes that are happening. Justification, one-time deal. Sanctification, ongoing life. Glorification, it is finished. He will complete what He started. And Christ above all is the safeguard that protects us from getting attached to lesser things. And I think that's what happens in our life. When Christ is not above all, guess what? We will attach ourselves to so many different things that are far less than Him. Yeah, they can be good. They can be good, but they're not ultimate. It keeps the main thing, and this is extremely important. Why? Because it doesn't matter what we are facing or what someone else is facing. Doesn't matter. To every believer and to every unbeliever, the truth is the same. Christ is above all. Now, they may not respond to that truth the way that you and I do, but that truth is no less true. Christ is above all. So ask yourself these questions. As you scan your year, as you scan your previous years, you scan the current makeup of your relationships, what does your family need the most? What do they need most today? What does your workplace need most? What does our church need most? What does our community and the world need most? Now, if we're not careful, we'll come up with a lot of different things. But if it's not Christ above all and letting that filter through everything, then we're going to settle for far less things in our lives. What we need most in our life is Christ above all. We need that to be rooted so deep into our hearts and our minds that it affects every area of our life. And so that'll be one of our focuses this year as a church. The second focus that we see in this passage is this, that we are to present everyone mature in Christ. To present everyone mature in Christ. The Greek for everyone is, guess what? Every single person. Paul does an amazing job in one verse using the word everyone three different times. Three different times he says everyone, meaning that no one is left to be abandoned. And that's exactly what happens. When we don't have a heart of everyone, we will abandon people. And Paul says no. That his desire, his goal based on keeping Christ above all is to what? It's to present everyone mature in Christ. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they identify as. The great desire and focus for every follower of Christ is to present everyone mature in Him. This is why we proclaim Christ. This is why we warn and teach everyone with all wisdom. This is the reason. That's why he said this is the purpose statement in verse 28. Verse 28 is the purpose statement. That we what? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word present has the idea of preparing someone for something. Do you realize that? Every single one of us, every day that we live, are being prepared for something. Doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. You're being prepared for something. It's like parents who raise their kids so that one day, if they're able to, what are they going to do? They're going to move out. Praise Tommy's saying yes. At some point, there's a shift in parenting. That you say, listen, I can't handle it anymore. You got to go, right? No, but that should be the goal of raising children. Is that if they're able to, that they'll do what? That they'll move out. That they'll grow. That they'll mature. In a greater way and in a very spiritual way, we as followers of Christ are given the task of keeping Christ above all so that we and those around us will do what? They will grow in Christ. This is the idea of maturity. The simplest definition we can get for maturity is this: Christ's life in me, live through me. That's it. The attributes, who Christ is, living in me and through me. And that desire is for everyone. Everyone. That is the desire that we should have for every single person that we come into contact with. Now again, we can't make people grow. That's important. That's where we get frustrated. We can't make them grow, but we sure can live lives and position ourselves in such a way that they're motivated to grow, right? But we can't force it. We can't make them. One of the greatest motivators that we have is the Word of God, the truths found in God's Word. That's why Paul says previous to this in verse 25, "Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make what? The Word of God fully known." You think there's some parts about Scripture that Paul didn't really like? That he struggled with? You know, when Paul's dealing with the Lord about the thorn in the flesh, and he pleads with the Lord three times to have that thorn of the flesh removed from him, do you think there was some struggle there? I'm not liking this, Lord. And yet he hears the beautiful words, "Oh, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient in your weakness." And so there are going to be times where we struggle with what? The full Word of the Lord. We're so good at picking and choosing what we agree with, what comes with easy. But maturity is doing what? It's taking the full Word of the Lord and applying it to our lives. And where is the starting point? What is the anchor? What is it that sustains us in grabbing hold of the full truth found in God? Verse 27, Paul says, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory." Listen, the great message of the gospel isn't just for a select few. It's not. It's for everyone. It's available to everyone. And by grace through faith, when we enter into a personal relationship with the Lord, then and there, at that exact moment, Christ in you tells us what? We have an empowered life now. Our life now has the Spirit of God living in us. The reality is, by grace through faith, we have been bought by Christ, redeemed by Christ. We have a personal relationship with God through Christ. And yet, here's what happens when we're not focused. We tend to settle for things that are far, far less than who we already are in Christ. Sometimes we settle because we get distracted with doing a bunch of good stuff, trying to achieve a lot of good stuff, and we take our focus off Christ above all. Not only is Christ in you the empowered life, it's the transformed life. It's what causes us to change from the inside out. Here's the reality. You and I face a battle each and every day that we wake up. The battle between the spirit and the flesh. According to Galatians, they're opposed to one another. They're not buddies. They're not friends. And everything that we see, everything that we digest, everything that enters our mind and out of our lips, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And Christ in you tells us what? That there is an advocate on our side that's transforming us, keeping us focused on the Spirit. And Christ in you is not just the empowered life, it's not just the transformed life, but he says it's the hope of glory. It's the secured life. There is no greater assurance in this life than being a follower of Christ. Because anything and everything can change just like that. But guess what? As followers of Christ, it doesn't matter what happens to our health. It doesn't matter what happens in our families. It doesn't matter what happens in our government or in this country or in our world. Guess what? We are citizens of a greater kingdom. That is the hope of glory. That he will, yes, he will finish what he started. And yet, what we fail to realize is this is a lifelong process. This maturity in Christ is a lifelong process. For some reason, as parents, we seem to think that our kids at age 12, because that's my oldest, that their book should be done, right? Their growth process should already have occurred. There should be no more issues, no more fighting over clothes and too much time on tablet and not cleaning room or going 90% of the way and not 100% of the way. It's always that last 10% that causes so much issues in the home. Have you realized that? And somehow we just think that they know better. But look, we know better. But yet there's still growth. And yet we attach ourselves to things of this world, things that are lesser. And what does God do? God begins to strip those things away. I love what J.I. Packer says. He says, the kindest thing God can do is to remove our hands from the things of this world so he can reattach them to himself. And this is part of the maturing process, is it not? Every time we are trying to put something above Christ, God graciously intervenes. And one of the ways he intervenes is through his people. He positions you and I in such a way that we are part of the growth process. We are part of the maturing process. It's Paul who does what? Who desires to present everyone complete, mature in Christ. When the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, they had a lot of problems. There was a lot going on in that church where they were wanting to live out the desires of the flesh and not who they already were in Christ. And yet, because Paul had such a desire to present everyone to Christ, he writes letters to them, reminding them of truth and doctrine, and why things are important, and how to live those things out. And it's like he's hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering, but if we miss his heart, we miss the objective. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 4:14. He says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Here's what's happening in the church in Corinth. Many of the people in the church there, they were getting all kinds of guidance from all kinds of different influence. And most of that guidance, most of that influence was from the world. Instead of pointing them deeper into Christ, they were finding them deeper into themselves. And so Paul goes to them, and he's writing to them, and he calls them his beloved children. He's using familial language here. He's using relational language here. He's basically saying, let me be your spiritual father. Let me be your shepherd. Let me be your leader. Let me teach you the right and confront you with the wrong. But let me do so in a way that what? That doesn't put you ashamed. I'm not here to hammer you. I'm here to instruct and correct. Why? Because he wanted to present everyone mature in Christ. Paul had a heart and a compassion for people. We see this when Paul addresses the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. He's working with the elders. He understands the dilemma that they face. He understands the wolves in sheep clothing. He understands what they're up against, especially when he departs them. And he says this in verse 31. He says, therefore, he's closing statements here. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with what? With tears. Now that's an amazing phrase. Paul is reminding all of us that the church will always be threatened. That's what he's telling the leaders there, the elders there, the pastors there. The church will always be threatened. And guess what? Most often the greatest threats are not without. They're coming from within. Within ourselves, within the people of God, unfortunately. And what does he say? He's warning them. He's talking to them about the dangers. He's saying, listen, I've taught you 3 years. I've modeled to you what it means to be a follower of Christ. I've toiled all these different things. And he says he did it with tears. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement. His tears were the tears of intense desire for their faith, growth, and holiness. Let me ask you this, parents. Have you ever been in a place where you desired so greatly for your children to either return to the Lord or express faith in the Lord, and it brought you to tears? Maybe for you it's a friend or a spouse. And with deep agony, prayer after prayer, teaching after teaching, admonishing and warning after warning, with such conviction, such compassion, it brought you to a place of tears. That's what Paul is saying here. That's the kind of love that Paul had. And this is important for us to understand. In this maturity process, there has to be grace and truth. It can't just be truth, truth, truth apart from grace, and it can't be grace, grace, grace apart from truth. There is an amazing gospel balance between those two items. They're not opposed to one another. They complement one another. And that's what we see in Paul, that as Paul is instructing truth, he is showing incredible grace. And as followers of Christ, we are in a life and death struggle with the world. We are in a struggle with the flesh. We are in struggle with the devil. And our collective goal should be what? To finish the race in such a way that we present everyone mature in Christ. So let us hear and obey these words. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Listen to what he says. Admonish the idle. Warn the unruly. Those who are out of order. It reminds me of how I do a little bit better now, but washing laundry. Anybody wash laundry? How many of y'all wash laundry differently than your spouse? I come from the idea that you cram as much as you can in there because that's the most efficient, right? But then you have those items that, some reason, they turn colors, right? Well, my wife is an orderly person when it comes to laundry. In fact, oftentimes she won't let me touch them because I dry things I'm not supposed to dry. And I don't understand. If it's washed, dry it, right? But think about our lives. How many of us have disorder in our lives? Every single one of us at some level or another have what? We have disorder. And so what Paul is saying here is that we are to admonish, we are to warn those places in our lives that are out of order, where we need help. He says, encourage the faint-hearted. Come alongside those who are ready to give up and quit. Anybody been there before? You ready to give up and quit? What about help the weak? Those who are burdened or spiritually vulnerable. Guess what? There are things that happen to us physically in our life that make us spiritually vulnerable. And it's important that we help one another. In all those things, admonishing, encouraging, and helping, what does he say? Be patient. Be patient. Now, that's not difficult to understand, but it's difficult to do, is it? How many of us are great with patience? No. We live in an impatient society, and that's what expresses ourselves, and we can't do that in the maturity process. Some have a relationship with the Lord, and some do not. So we must be patient. Some have abandoned their faith, and some are new to their faith. So we must admonish, encourage, and help, but we must also be patient. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says this, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, we must what? We must walk in Him." So just as we put our faith fully in Christ at salvation, we must continually put our faith fully in Him as we live each and every day. Why? So that we will remain rooted. That is the source, right? And that we will be built up in Him. This is the process of growth. And that we will be established. That is the firmness in the faith. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What I love about this passage is that as we grow in Christ, guess what? We'll be a thankful people. You find people that are critical and ungrateful as followers of Christ, guess what the root of that trails back to? They're not growing in the Lord. They tapped out. And so we come along. You and I come along. You come along me. Where I've been tempted to tap out. And you encourage. And you help. And you warn and admonish. So this is a community project here, if you will. The question is, do you desire everyone to know and experience all that there is in Christ? That's really the goal. If Christ is above all, right? No matter what the world can promise, if Christ is above all, do you truly desire to present everyone mature in Him? Focus number three, we must rely on the power of Christ to do so. We must rely on the power of Christ to do so. Here's what I have learned and will continue to learn. Presenting everyone mature in Christ, that desire, man, that is a struggle. It's an exhausting journey. You feel like you're one among many. And it is exhausting. It is tiring. And that's why Paul says that we must rely on His power. It's got to be beyond you. It's got to be something from above. He says in verse 29, he says, "For this I toil." For the reason of what? Presenting everyone mature in Christ. How? By keeping Christ above all. For this reason, I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. Man, Paul had an amazing work ethic. He uses words like toil. The word toil means taking a beating. You know, ministry. Sometimes ministry feels like you're taking a beating. And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be on staff at a church. I know many of you are ministering in your homes. You're ministering in your workplaces. And guess what? When I talk with you, when I pray with you, I can tell you're taking a beating. And so he talks about this idea of toil. He also says the word struggling. It means to agonize. It's a picture of a marathon runner who has trained and prepared for the race that is set before him. And on the day of that race, guess what? He understands the goal. He understands what is to be achieved. He understands what the objective is. And everything that the runner did, what he ate and how he trained, the intentional time he took to rest, even down to the equipment that they purchased, right? Was everything to do what? To reach that objective, to reach that goal. And guess what? In that race, you'll find setbacks. In that race, things won't go as planned. Yet in that race, Lord willing, you'll experience the crowd of those around you encouraging you and cheering you on. And yet, in that race, the responsibility is what? That you toil and you struggle and you press through the pain, through agony, through all of that, you press forward. Why? Because you know the objective. And if we stop here, that's when we tap out. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. That is the key. It's not my energy. It's not your energy. It's Christ's energy in you. This work of presenting everyone mature in Christ requires a power, again, that is outside of us. And we must dedicate all of our life to the power of Christ in us. And that is most evident as we present everyone mature in Christ. You see, Christ is the center of the message. Christ is the goal of the mission. But Christ is also the means and how that is accomplished. I love what Paul says in Romans 12:11. He says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." Here's Paul. He's serving. He's toiling. He's struggling. He's fighting. But deep down, guess what? He realizes deep down he understands that all the serving and all the toiling and all the struggling, all the fighting are gifts from the one who serves him. Let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be awesome to have zeal without burnout? Passion without burnout. Sustainability without burnout. How many of you experienced burnout in your walk with the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about just physical burnout. I'm talking about spiritual war. Burnout. If you have not already experienced that or not walking through that now, you will one day walk through it. And it's at that moment that I pray verse 29 comes to you. That the toil and the struggle is intersecting with the power of Christ in you. I love what Major Ian Thomas says. He says, "Every moment of my day was packed tight with doing things. Thus, by the age of 19, I had been reduced to a state of complete exhaustion spiritually. Until I felt that there was no point going on. Then one night in November, that year, just at midnight, I got down on my knees before God. And I just wept in sheer despair. I said, with all my heart, I have wanted to serve thee. I have tried my uttermost, and I am a hopeless failure. That night, things happened. I can honestly say that I had never once heard from the lips of men the message that came to me then, the simple message of Christ who is your life. The Lord seemed to make plain to me that night through my tears of bitterness. You see, for 7 years, with utmost sincerity, you have been trying to live for me, on my behalf, the life that I have been waiting for 7 years to live through you. I got up the next morning to an entirely different Christian life. But I want to emphasize this. I had not received one iota more than I had already had for 7 years. Man, I pray those words speak to you. The focus of Christ in all, the focus of presenting everyone in Christ, the toil, the struggle, the agony, the beating, the power of Christ in you. In your service to the Lord, make sure He is serving you first. That is the greatest place of selfishness you can be. That He is serving you first. That's what He said. He came to do what? To not be served, but to serve. And to give His ransom for many. That ransom, that payment is not just a one-time deal. That is a payment every single day. Day after day, grace upon grace is given to you. Some of us are so depleted of Christ's life in us, we have nothing to give to the people around us. Why? Because we're trying to do it in our own strength. At best, we give people characteristics of the flesh. Listen, God has called us to something far greater, something far superior. Something that brings about eternal and lasting change. That's why I think when Paul says these words in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." 3 times he mentions grace. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. It is not only a message that the people around you need to hear, it is the message that you need to hear each and every day. This year, let us focus on worshiping Christ above all. Let us focus on growing in our dependency on Him. Let us focus on connecting with others as we present everyone mature in Christ. And let us focus on serving others as the Lord serves us. As Pastor Sean and the worship team come up to bring us to a time of response, you this morning, is Christ above all? You this morning, is there a desire to present everyone mature in Christ? You this morning, are you relying on the power of Christ in you to serve your family, to cherish your wife, to love and respect your husband, to honor your parents, to reflect the light of the gospel that is in you? Maybe you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with the Lord. Today's your beginning step. Today is the day of salvation. If the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, speaking to you today, let your moment be now. And let your life forever be changed. Whatever your decision is today, whatever you need to lay things at the altar, whatever your prayer might be, your praise might be, I pray that we would faithfully respond to Him. I'll be up front. I'd love to pray with you. The altar will be open for you to pray. Let us praise and sing songs of great gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand.